Introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
Hey, hey, welcome back, everybody. We're here for another daily deep dive on the Introspective Podcast. And this is actually the perfect conversation around the context of what we really try to talk about here, which is mindful entrepreneurship, but going into, you know, the lifestyle design and how you can really manifest opportunities and create that life by design, that lifestyle by design, and focusing on your business. And, you know, when it comes to building this for yourself, I think there's a lot that we need to understand just about that inner game. And today I have a special guest. His name is James Allen, who is an international high performance coach, author, and podcaster. He helps his clients live into their highest potential so they can feel more alive, engaged, purposeful, and free. James takes a very holistic approach to success by helping his clients create a life and business that surpasses their expectations in their health, wealth, and relationships. To James, success is an inner game. This is why he helps his clients with things like mindset, confidence, health and well-being, courage, leadership, high performance, manifestation on top of business strategy. And he believes that in order to succeed at a high level for the long term, which is what high performance is all about, you will need both a strong mindset coupled with an effective strategy. I welcome to the podcast, James Allen. James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, man. Thank you.
Sounds good. Yeah, this is great. I mean, I want to start with manifestation because I know that, you know, I've had conversations and I've even, you know, seen, you know, just things in content where you almost have like two different looks on manifestation. You got some people who thinks it's just completely bogus and it's all woo woo and, mm-hmm. and it's silly. And why would you do something like that? There's this kind of negative perception. But then on the other side, you have this standpoint where people truly, it's like part of their operating system. You know, that's what they, it's a strong belief. And I think it even goes beyond belief. I think there's certainly some action and results that come with that through that practice. So I want to hand it over to you on manifestation and kind of talk about how you perceive it, kind of what you have discovered through that particular area.
Yeah. So I love manifestation, the whole topic. And recently I started looking up it was like a recommended video. This one guy, his name's James too. I don't remember his last name, but he does like some really, really high quality documentary films. I can't recall what his last name is, but you can find him. He just talks about like the real truths behind like money and personal. He does like quite a few about personal development, like the dark side of self-help. And I find it really interesting to watch those personally because I'm in this profession and I want to hear like, what do people not like about it? Like, what is it that bothers people? Is there something I can learn here? Am I just in some hoaxful, you know, like, profession, which I know because I have helped my clients get amazing results that they really want in their life using manifestation principles. And a lot of what he talked about in it was the movie, The Secret, talking about like manifestation, how it's like this completely woo-woo thing like you were talking about like, oh, you just think about the things that you want, like think about $1,000 checks or thousands and thousands of dollar checks just flowing into your bank account every day. And it's like, oh, that's just going to happen. Like, no, it's not. And that's like the thing about manifestation. I think people think it's woo-woo because they think like, oh, you just think about it, like, and it just happens in your life. So manifestation, I believe, is a whole body experience. It is thought, it's feeling, and it's action, which ultimately lead us to getting results. But it's about the direction that we're pushing our energy. So if we look at the dictionary definition of manifest, which is what, if I typed in manifestation, it would say, look at manifest. Manifest, there's an adjective and a verb, and I think they go hand in hand, which is why I'm going to share both of them. Adjective is clear or obvious to the eye or mind. The verb is a display or show a quality or feeling by one's acts or appearances. Demonstrate. So this is like acting as if we want to demonstrate the result that we ultimately want. But the thing is, like, you can't just sit there and think about it. Like, if you wanted the love of your life to come into your life, you know, you can't just like sit there and think about it and be like, oh, that'd be amazing to have, and never go on any dates or interact with people or walk up and say hi and start a conversation and build a connection of any kind, or even try to do that, you know? And it's like, obviously you can't just think about it unless you're like really good at manifesting, I guess, and something crazy happens where like you, but even still, you'd have to like invite friends over, say, yes, it's okay. That's like a form of action where like maybe someone came in through the door who was a mutual friend of another friend, and then you guys hit it off and then you got that great relationship. I like to think about manifesting as like, yes, you have to have the thought, the feelings coupled with the action to actually make it happen. Where like, if you think about like fishing, for example, and you throw out your hook into the water and you catch a fish, the fish symbolizes your idea that you have. It's the dream that you have. And if you know anything about fishing, if you've gone fishing or watched fishing of any kind, you see that like, depending on the size of the fish, it's just this game of back and forth. And that's how I think about manifestation, where you have this idea, you're hooked to it, you're committed to it. Like me going into coaching, for example, because I was in construction work, went into coaching because that's what was aligned with me. So I had this big dream for this coaching business of mine, where I'm doing podcasts like this with amazing people like Jake Anderson, and doing podcasts myself, and creating content, working with clients and leaders and all this amazing things. So it's like this big fish that I have. And if you have some huge fish, you're fishing in the ocean, it's going to swim out and it's going to be a battle to bring it back and forth. So think about manifestation, like the idea is what hooks you up to the fish. That's your hook, basically.
Gotcha.
And then the feelings, the positive emotion of gratitude, of nurturing it, of you writing out your goals and dreams every single day, which is what I do, twice a day. And I'll get into that later. But if you think about those positive emotions that are connected with that dream and the actions that you're taking, that's like you reeling in the fish. And then life throws those curveballs. Things happen, you know. No, shit hits the fan and the fish starts swimming away. That's where we feel like this is never going to work. This is a bunch of BS. What's the point of entrepreneurship or going after this business or this dream or writing this book or creating this nonprofit or whatever it is? All the doubt and the negative emotions are like the fish swimming away. So that's like the pull back and forth, but eventually you keep working at it, keep pulling it in, then you catch your big fish. That's how I think about manifestation.
I love the visual there, you know, and thinking about manifestation, I think from a standpoint of how this is going to, you know, for the people out there who I guess are maybe a little bit more type A and are like, okay, well, how is this going to help me, you know, achieve something, or like, how can I use this as a tool for, you know, business success or life success, what have you. And it almost seems like, and you made a really good point, where you were talking about the environment that you surround yourself with, as far as like being on podcast and surrounding yourself with things that lead you to that place of, you know, fulfillment or success or whatever that next level is that kind of helps you move there. Would you say like that's a key component of manifestation, is surrounding yourself with people, or like, what are some of the things, like, I guess more on like a tactical level, like that people should be thinking about?
Yeah, totally. So the inner game portion is like what we call five sensorizing. It's what I call five sensorizing your dream. So five sensorizing your dream is when you're visualizing, like people spend meditation time, like really successful people. Tim Ferriss in the book Tools of Titans, he actually talks about three major successful traits that like the major successful people have. It's three common traits. And number one is they have a dedicated meditation practice. Number two is that they have dedicated journaling time. And the meditation practice is also like a visualization practice. They have dedicated journaling time and they're zealously protective of their own time. And I believe that what these successful people are doing when they're doing these things is that they're visualizing, they're feeding their energy towards this goal that they want. Because if you look up people who write down their goals and dreams, like I have this thing called the 40-day challenge, where you get a super basic notebook off Amazon for like 10 bucks or whatever. Or you can get a piece of paper and you write out your most like current vision that you have every single day, two times per day for 40 days. Because 40 is a number of transformation. That's why I did it. But honestly, it can take a lot longer than that. I personally finished my 40 days and I didn't reach my goal yet, but I was on a roll. And I said, I'm going to do 90 days and I'm on day 86 now. And even after that, it's just maybe there's a new dream that comes in. Things are manifesting in my own life really fast. And that's what happens, because with the dedicated meditation time, the journaling time, you're writing out these dreams. And if you do look up like the effectiveness of writing out your dreams, people who actually write down their dreams, I think are about 40% or so, 30 or 40% more likely to actually achieve it than people who don't do it. Because where your attention goes, energy flows. So we're constantly putting our attention into this thing that we want to create. And by doing that, like scientifically, your brain will just start to see more opportunity. And that's what's known as a reticular activating system. It goes into play. It's like if you got a new Honda, a red Honda, and you were always interested in getting that red Honda, you would start seeing red Hondas every single place. And it's because your reticular activating system is thinking about red Hondas. So when you're thinking about making six figures in your business or making 60K months, and that's like what you're feeding all of your energy and attention to, and you're meditating, where you're sitting down doing a guided meditation, visualizing in your mind 60K months, like I'm experiencing, you start to see things and meet people that lead to you actually making 60K months or six figures, whatever your goal is.
Yeah. What is it? What you believe you can achieve. And I think that as you have those visualizations and do things, like you said, like writing things out and making them, it adds almost like a realness to it. It becomes more real for, if it's just sticking in your head, you know, it's still just a thought at that point. But when you actually take it from your head and put it on paper, it becomes more real. And I know, like, you know, even in business, and I can only speak from my own experience, but I'm sure anybody else that's listening that's been through kind of that process, as you start to, you know, when you first get started, it's almost like your mind thinks about money, like as you would at your job, right? Like you think about money as, maybe you're making $50,000 a year, right? So you're thinking about money in terms of, you know, $4,800 a month or whatever that is. But then when you get into business and you start to grow and start to scale and you start seeing 10K, 20K, 30K, whatever, 100K months, it just is this like complete shift in your paradigm, because it becomes real. And it's almost like because your belief system is there, it seems to be that your actions and energy kind of flow into more operating at that level, like, cause you just know what it is. So I'm just thinking about, you know, when it comes to, you know, things like manifestation and going into creating that career and thinking about, like, there's people out there that have a lot of passion for things and they are, you know, really into things that maybe they feel like, well, this is great and this is something I love, but could I really actually do what I love and make that my full-time focus? Like, cause that would be amazing, right? To be able to just every day wake up and go into the thing that you absolutely love the most, that you're most passionate about, and be able to make that your lifestyle and something that pulls in money to be able to take care of the things that you need to take care of and make the ends meet. But I know, and this is through previous conversations, that you believe that that's possible, like that people 100%. Can, right? So I want to ask you, like, how is that possible for somebody to be able to take their passion and turn it into a source of energy that takes care of their lifestyle, that gives them the means to be able to live and thrive in the world that they're in?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I'm about to go off right now, but, in a good way, but, first off, everything is possible that you can come up with in your mind. You can't have a thought that comes up in your mind without having it be possible. It is possible. And people will doubt because it may not happen as fast as you want, but that's why we journal. That's why we do the meditation practice and we work towards it the best that we can diligently. Because before I got into like marketing with my business, it took me like a couple of years because I was working on all this inner stuff when I first started entrepreneurship and these challenges that I had inside of me. And I look back and I'm like, what the heck was I doing? But really I was operating at the best level that I could at the time.
Yeah.
So you can have an idea, a dream inside your mind that is possible. First and foremost, like, you're more capable, every single person is, than we claim to be. But we have all this outside influence, all this negativity that, and all these, all this limitation basically that just limits us from actually doing it. And there's major like roadblocks that actually come up. There's four really. And I like to think about them like kinks in the hose. So if you think about your mind as a garden, it's actually called the law of the garden, but you have this little seed, which is your dream, and you plant that inside your garden. In order to grow the garden, or in order to grow the seed inside your garden, you have to nurture it. You have to water it. You have to attend to it and make sure that it's going to grow, you know, and then eventually it starts to sprout some roots. It starts to grow and be this beautiful avocado tree of a dream or whatever it is for you. And it's really hard to make that grow when it's getting choked out by weeds. And there's weeds, which are things like fear. Or if you think about your hose and you're going to go water it, water your plant and tend to it, you can't when there's kinks inside the hose. So these four kinks that are most common that show up inside your hose are, number one, a sense of deserving. People don't think that they deserve it. They have this idea. And if you ask people like, hey, what do you really want to do with your life? Like, if I gave you a magic wand for the next 3 years and you could do whatever you want, what would it be? And they're like, well, I guess I would create all these things. Or they'll even say like, I don't know. I don't know. And they just like instantly say that, even though they do know what they really want, because when they're by themselves, they think about the things that they would really love. Like, I don't want to have money. If you have a hard time thinking about what you really would love, think about what you wouldn't love and just do the opposite of that, because that's what you'd really love. Right. You know, if you're like, I don't want to like not have any more money. Like, okay, so you want to have money. Like, that's a start, and keep working towards that. But a sense of deserving is the first kink in the hose. And it's something that has to get massaged out, just like if you were watering your garden for your little seed of a dream that you have. Because it starts as a little idea. The more we nurture it, the more we commit to it, let it grow, it turns in. So a sense of deserving is the first one. First thing with that, you are more deserving than you can ever imagine. It's about the feeling of being deserving. You know, and we can never outperform our self-image of what we can achieve or have in our life. But the good news is that we can change it. And that's that thermostat setting that we have inside of ourselves. So a sense of deserving. The second one's fear. People have fear and they're like, I'm not going to do it because I'm scared. Right. I'm not going to go into entrepreneurship because it scares me. You know, all the risk that's entailed with being an entrepreneur. Yeah. I forgot who it was, but they said, if you aren't willing to take risks, then get out of business. It may have been Jeff Bezos or something like that.
Oh yeah.
So sense of deserving, fear, a sense of lack is another one. Thinking, I don't have the connections. I don't have the people in my life. I don't have the know-how. I don't have the right relationships. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. And these are all excuses to that dream. And then the fourth one is forgiveness. So I think it's a really overlooked topic is forgiveness. But if you can't build a dream, you can have like all the courage, you know, so you're not scared, like afraid of this. You could feel like you deserve it and all these things, or not feel a sense of lack. But if you don't have the forgiveness piece into play, then you have a huge knot inside your hose, because we cannot build a dream, no matter how big, beautiful the dream is, if we are feeding our mind subconsciously or consciously with feelings of resentment, of blame, of shame, of guilt, and those things. So that's where the forgiveness piece comes into play towards ourselves and towards other people. Because when we really forgive, you just opened up a huge stream of energy, because it takes a lot of energy to put that energy towards like resentment or blame or guilt or shame towards yourself or other people. You know, so that's where the forgiveness piece comes into play. So those are like the four biggest things that I would say in terms of like kinks in our hose that come up that we should always be aware of in terms of the inner game.
So the two F's that I want to touch on here, fear and forgiveness. You know, I think I'm glad you brought up forgiveness first off, because I agree with you. I think it's overlooked, and I think that people don't realize how much energy is being extracted from them because of things like resentment and, mm-hmm. you know, blame and all this. I mean, it's almost, I don't think, and I'm thinking about myself, anytime I've ever felt that, you know, sense of I'm resentful towards whatever, or I'm blaming something and I have that inside. And when you're able to kind of liberate yourself from it, there is this huge sense of relief, but it's hard. Like, especially like if somebody has done you wrong, right, in life, I mean, to a level that just sticks with you for years. You know, and it's just like, man, yeah. You know, like maybe you went through a really nasty divorce. Maybe somebody, I don't know, whatever the situation is, we all have probably been through some kind of an experience that somebody has done something to us, and it really creates this just really negative feeling. Like, what can somebody do? And I think the same applies with fear. Like, these are two really strong, pieces to this framework that I think people, I would imagine is probably the most challenging for people, for people to overcome is the fear and getting to a place of forgiveness. So from a mindset perspective, like how can somebody, what steps can somebody take to overcome things like fear and get over that sense of resentment or blame to get to a place of forgiveness?
Sure. Yeah. So I could literally do a whole entire episode just on forgiveness. There's a lot of things, but I think that the biggest thing, cause I want to answer your question still. I kind of went on a little tangent, but I think it was an important tangent towards us actually creating a life and business that we really want,
right?
Regardless of what it is.
Oh,
okay.
Sure,
so real quick with forgiveness, there's a great book called A Course in Miracles. And there's a great saying inside of that book that says every act is either a call for love or an expression of love, regardless of how unskillful it may seem.
Mm-hmm.
So if people act out negatively, they start yelling at you, they do terrible things to you, whatever it is, you know, your divorce happened, like you mentioned, then all of that is just that people are in their own little worlds. And if you've read The Four Agreements, which is the book that really changed my life and got me into personal development, the second agreement is about not taking things personally. And the fundamental piece of it is that everybody's in their own world. That's why someone could be super nice to you. Don't take it personally. Someone's super mean to you, the same person, don't take it personally, because they're in their own little world. They have their own, like every mind you see is its own little universe, its own planet Earth going on. And they're thinking about them because it's survival. It's all this stuff that goes into it. It's a whole, that could be a whole podcast episode. But with forgiveness, knowing that every act is either a call for love or an expression of love, regardless of how unskillful it may seem, that perspective really helps me personally feel compassion. Mm. And compassion is the beginning of forgiveness. Because if someone lashes out on you and then you find out through, so you're like, well, what was up with that person? Then you find out from someone else like, hey, you know, they're going through this really hard divorce right now. Their kid is in the hospital with some chronic illness, and you go, oh crap, like that's why they're acting like that. Yeah. So you feel that way, and you're, and you instantly shift from being like, what's up with that person, to feeling compassion and be like, I feel bad. I want to go give the person a hug now, you know? And that's what forgiveness is, because forgiveness isn't saying it's okay if all that stuff happened, if the people like raped me or stole my family from me or, you know, whatever, or that there was a bad investment in my business that they just like screwed me over, whatever, you know, it frees us. It's not saying those things are okay. It frees us from years and years of torment, because there's another great saying that says there can't be a jailer without, or it can't be someone jailed without there being a jailer. Like you are the jailer holding this person. And the Buddha said that resentment is like holding a hot coal, expecting the other person to burn. That's why people can be detached from these people and then be feeling all this pain inside and limiting them to getting into drug abuse or all this crazy stuff that happens. You know, so compassion is the first part of forgiveness. And when you think about everybody's in their own little world, they're acting out in some crazy way. Maybe they're going through something that I don't know. But if you like hear about that, like I mentioned before about, oh, that person, like their kid's in the hospital, for example, chronic illness, they don't know how they're going to pay the bill. That's why they're acting out and being freaking out and pissed off, because they're just working at a grocery store or something. And you hear that and you're like, wow. But what if we could feel compassion without actually knowing what the whole situation is? That's the real question.
That is the real question, because the thing is, and I've had conversations with my wife about this exact thing, as far as anytime you see somebody and they're just acting in some kind of a negative way, they're angry, they're being rude, whatever it may be, I think it's important to just remember that you don't know what's going on in that world, you know, and typically whenever you see people, especially when it's extreme behavior, you know, I mean, really any behavior, not even just extreme, any behavior, I'd imagine that people, there's a reason that people are acting that way. And it could be that, hey, this person just lost their job. They don't know how they're going to make rent. They've got a small family and, you know, they're a bit stressed right now. And whatever you did was not intentional, but something may have pushed a button, whatever that button was, and it caused a reaction. But it's sometimes easy, like when you're not, I guess it's just like a lack of understanding as a person, lack of understanding the situations that people are going through.
Yeah. Well, if people act out that way, then yeah, there's something going on inside their world, whether they're chemically imbalanced or whatever it is, or they're just pissed off about something. They just have something going on in their world, and it's that simple. And it can be kind of hard to wrap your mind around, especially if someone does something crazy. But again, it doesn't mean you have to keep these people in your life. Even if it's family, you have toxic family, get away. Like, go do your own thing. You know, you don't keep the people in your life. You leave and you take care of yourself unless you've turned every single stone that you can to make sure that you've done everything you can in the relationship or whatever it is with the person, whether it's like an intimate or non-intimate relationship. And you've tried every possible thing, and it's just not, some people just don't change. And that's just kind of how it is. Feel compassion to them. Say, may you like be truly happy. May you live in peace. You know, goodbye. But I need to leave for me, because forgiveness is about us. It's about taking care of you. And it takes a lot of courage, and it's not easy to do forgiveness practice. But I would say to just kind of like share the most valuable beginning of forgiveness, because a lot of people are new to it. They're like, I don't know how to do it. Feel compassion for the person. Start to say, that person must be, you know, having so much pain in their life right now. They must have something going on right now that is just terrible for them. And if I can help, then I will. But if they keep lashing out, it's like, okay, there's a time to back away. You know, turning every stone is you putting in an effort. That's you turning a stone. It's you trying to be there, trying to be supportive, but you have to like have the fine line of like, okay, this person's not going to change. I've literally tried everything. It's time to cut away. You know, and feel compassion towards them. So that's like the biggest piece that I would share in terms of forgiveness. But even on my podcast, I do forgiveness. I did like a little series about three tangible ways that you can actually, maybe I can send them over to you and we can put them in the description or something. But it's like three actual practices that you can use in terms of forgiveness on top of this. Because I like to talk about forgiveness. I think, again, like it's an overlooked topic.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's massively overlooked. I haven't really had it come up much in conversation, and I've had a few, you know, I've had a few podcast episodes and interviews and things around mindset, and I haven't, you know, forgiveness has never really been part of the conversation, not to this level at least. And real quick, just so you know, while we're on the topic, like go ahead and let the audience know what is your podcast, what's the name of it. We'll go ahead and certainly put it in the show notes and description as well. Sure. But just so they can hear it, where can they find your podcast?
Yeah, so it's on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, on all those. It's called MPI Radio. And so that stands for Massive Positive Impact Radio. And it's just designed to help you make your own massive positive impact in the world, whatever that is for you. You know, and the question to ask yourself when you're doing it is like, what's my MPI? What's the massive positive impact that I want to see, create, or be a part of in this world? Mm. And it can be massive for you. Maybe not, it's like a global scale, but maybe it's just you being the best parent you can be. And that's your impact, because you're going to leave a legacy for future generations. So that's the idea of the podcast. And I can send over those links to you after this, and we can put them in for the forgiveness practice. There's three of them.
Perfect. Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I know, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now, and I'm one of them. Even though I'm not listening, I'm having a conversation, but thinking about forgiveness, and it is challenging. There's certain things even to this day I have a hard time letting go of, things that's happened years ago. There were some family things that went on that happened, you know, with my stepdad specifically. He did some really dirty things in my family, and I have not been able to let go of that, as far as just an internal anger, resentment, just that negative feeling. And, so, you know, it is tough, and fear's tough too, right? It's like trying to get over the fear of taking a risk. I mean, and you know what? This is the thing about James, like when it comes to taking risk, I personally, and I want to hear your thoughts on this too, as far as just the whole concept of taking risk. And I think we're always taking risks. Even when you go and get a job somewhere, you know, you're still risking your time and, you know, in your effort and energy into putting it into a company, you know, over a span of however many years. But the risk there that I see is that they can, they're making the decisions, whoever the ownership is, you know, they're the ones who kind of hold your destiny in their hands. You know, when you mm-hmm. work for a place, that's one reason why I don't, that's what I don't like about, one of the big things I don't like about going out and getting a job is that, and I remember seeing this in the banking industry. My goodness, it was all over the like people, they were merging and acquiring each other all, you know, and within moments notice, you could have 30 years into a banking institution. And just like that, it's gone because of a merger. And you're redundant at this point, no longer needed in your position. So they get rid of you. And that's a risk, you know, that's a risk that you take. So there's, but people are afraid of that. They don't, I guess they don't even think about it really. It's just, it's still a safer place for them to be. But I want to ask you about fear. Like, what do you think? Let's kind of shift over there. Like, what are some things that you would say that people can do from a mindset perspective on kind of overcoming fear?
Yeah. So there's actually a really good story that I'll share with you real quick about fear. And it's about a kid who is he's in a Native American tribe, and he wants to, he's again at the coming of age where now it's time to go on what is a vision quest, where they go out into the wilderness for like a month or so. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go out there because he's about 16 or so, whatever the age is. And he is like terrified because he's like, I could die. I could eat some plant. I got to live on my own in the wilderness. I got to hunt for my own food. Like, what if I eat some poisonous plant? What if I get hit by a mountain lion or a bear, or I just freeze to death? Like, there's all this bad that can happen, and I'm terrified. But at the same time, there's a part of him that's like, I want to do this because where I'm from, this is an important part of a man's journey in our tribe. Mm-hmm. So going on this vision quest is how we actually become a true man.
Right.
So he goes over to his chief, and he's just like battling, and he goes to his chief, and he's like, chief, it feels like there's two dogs inside of me. It feels like there's a black dog that's telling me that I can't do this and that I'm going to die, and there's no point in doing it. And then there's a white dog that's saying that I can do this, that I'm going to come back. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to become a real man in my tribe, and everything's going to work out. So it's these two dogs fighting inside of him. Oftentimes we have that kind of feeling inside of ourselves, like, should I start this business? Should I make this investment? Whatever it is. And he goes to his chief, tells him all this, and the chief looks at him and says, he puts his hand on his shoulder nice and compassionately, and he says, son, the white dog will win. And he says, how do you know that? And he says, because that is the wolf that you will feed. And my girlfriend actually has a tattoo on her arm that says the wolf you feed. And I thought that was so cool. It was really attractive for me because I knew about this story before I had known her, and I saw it's all geared towards the same story. So when we're going to make a decision to do something, to either make an investment that could potentially launch our business into the next level, or we're going to make a decision to even start a business or some new endeavor or go on an adventure. Maybe you want to climb Mount Everest and you're like, I could die, but it'd be so cool to see the top of Mount Everest. We have the white dog symbolizes our faith, and the black dog symbolizes the fear that we have, you know? Mm. So we want to feed our faith. And the way that we feed the faith is by putting our attention to it. And that's like writing out your dream every day, like we talked about. Or taking the time to meditate and to feed your mind, the whole manifestation thing that we talked about. You know, all this stuff is very, it all combines together. It's not just one thing or another, but they're tools to help us make this dream happen. So that's my take on fear. Jim Carrey actually has a really cool quote about fear where he said, you can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance doing what you love. Mm. And that's like the thing, because life's not guaranteed. Yeah. So I was in construction work, and I was making the decision of like, I'm going to leave construction work and go into this coaching thing. It was a 5-year apprenticeship, and I was 4 years in, and I had all my ducks in a row to start this coaching thing. And if I finished my 5 years, which is what my dad told me to do, it's what everybody told me to do, I'd be completely vested. I'd be solid, totally set. And I could always come back and do construction. But the thing was that I didn't want to do construction. I had no interest now or future, like my beautiful, like best future self. Is he doing construction work? No. Maybe he's doing a job around his house, the living, because I was beating myself up. And my dad's just beat up as well from doing years and years and years of construction, decades. So I had this fear of like, I'm actually going to make the decision to leave a year early because I'm ready to go. and I'm going to just like work 3 months and then save up as much as I can, pay my car off, you know, and just go for it. And that's exactly what I did. But, yeah, I was like negotiating with my doubts and fears and whatnot. And it has to come down to the thing that we really want to pursue. Like maybe you're in a position who's listening to this right now where you want to go start a business adventure or some kind of thing that you want to do. That's not what you're doing now, because you're not happy. You're clearly not happy here. Nothing has changed over a period of time. And you're like, I have this idea. I really want to do it. What do I do? Do what gives you life. Howard Thurman has one of the coolest quotes in the world. He was a mentor to Martin Luther King, where he said, don't do what you think the world needs. Do what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs are more people who've come alive. And I love that quote. And when I thought in my situation of like, I want to do the coaching thing because that makes me come alive. Thinking about staying here in construction work, grinding day in and day out, not being around the type of people that I really want to be around, not having the type of conversations that I want to be having, it makes me feel drained inside. And I feel like I am meant for so much more. And when we're really in alignment, like when I do coaching in this conversation, it gives me energy. It doesn't drain me of energy.
Right.
You know, I love meeting with people like Jake and having conversations like this about mastering the inner game, because I know the value in it. So if it's, you know, I mean, real quick, actually, this does dovetail into the original question. We went off a little bit of a tangent, but I still want to talk about this, about is it really possible to do the work that I really love?
Right.
100%. Yeah, because there's a 5-point test that I actually want to share with you, which is a simple framework to really make sure that your dream or this idea that you have is really worth your time and talent. And it's 5 questions that you ask yourself real quick. You can literally go boom, 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 boom. Good. You do it at a stoplight. Any dream that you have, whether it's a big one or a small one, you want to make sure that it's worth your energy, because you're going to trade your most precious commodity, which is time, to build something. And we don't have a lot of time. You can make money, you can lose money, make it back, but you can't do that with time. So the 5 questions. Number one, does it give me life? Like Howard Thurman's quote. When you think about this idea, does it light you up inside? If you share it with a friend and just say, this is what I'm working on, do you get like pumped? That's the idea. If that's a yes, check. Cool. Number two, does it align with my core values? Meaning, does it align with who you really are? For me, construction didn't. I like working with my hands, you know, I like thinking creatively, but showing up, waking up at 3:30 every single morning to drive an hour to commute and then go grind my heart out for construction to build somebody else's dream. No, that's not in alignment with me. And if you think about your core values, like think about if you were on your deathbed and you could like reflect on your life, would you be completely content with the decisions that you made? I mean, of course, there's things that we didn't do, you know, but like what would have really mattered to you? That's a big question to ask yourself. What would really matter to you? For me, it's, I mean, being radically transparent, coaching for me, I think the biggest thing that drew me to it is like, yes, you can have free time. You can have like endless cap of income, you know, doing coaching. It's amazing. But the biggest thing for me was that I grew up in a family that was very toxic and mental health was far out the window. And that's why I love coaching, because I love the inner game, because I know the value in mental health. So what really excites me is my future kids, giving them the life that I never had, because it was just chaos in my life. I almost lost my parents, you know, multiple times to gunshots, to beatings, crazy things. And I never will have that for my kids. And that's what coaching really is for me, because it's feeling compassion, learning how to overcome fear, because it's all teaching and I'm teaching this to my future kids. And that's what really hits home for me. So does it align with my core values? Hell yeah. Number three, does it cause me to grow? When you think about this dream, is it going to cause you to stretch, to grow because you don't know how to make it happen? You want a yes to that. And number four, does it align with my higher, or does it require help from a higher power? So not everybody is into like higher power, God, the universe, whatever. I think you should practice adopting it, because it makes life a lot more enjoyable and fun. Personally, I'm not a religious person, but I do believe that there's a force that's beating my heart, that's breathing me, because I can only hold my breath for so long and then I have to start breathing again. There's something that's working inside of us and with us, and it's got our back, and I have faith in that. Because the other way to kind of word that question, does it require help from a higher power, is do I know all the steps necessary to make this dream happen? Because if you don't, that ties into, is it going to require me to grow? You want this thing to make you grow, because that's where real like change happens and growth, and you become a bigger person. And the 5th question, the last question, does it have good in it for other people? That's the big question, because that's where the real fulfillment piece comes in. Mm. You can make all the money in the world, have a successful business, but if it doesn't do good in it for other people, you're going to feel empty inside and you're not going to be as happy or fulfilled. So that's how you know a dream is really worth your time and talent. So before you even think about going after something, make sure that it passed those five questions.
That's beautiful, man. I love that so much. And I was taking some notes. And one of the things I just wanted to say that you had mentioned, it's a hell yeah for does this align with your core values? I feel like the answers to those, every answer to those questions should be a hell yeah. It should be a yeah, yeah. This
yeah.
It should be.
No, it's got to be.
Hell yeah. This is it. Like this, yep. that's how I want to feel when I answer those questions, those five questions. And going back to that quote you said about, let me make sure I get this correct. It was a really amazing quote. It was like, it's not about doing what the world needs, but doing what gives you life. Or I think that's the way
you said. Don't do what you think the world needs. Yeah. Do what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs are more people who've come alive. Howard Thurman.
Exactly. And I wanted to highlight that. It's like, because that's exactly what the world needs, is more people to come alive. And when people are depressed, when people are unhappy, it doesn't create a great world to be in, you know, when everybody is unhappy. So the more that people are alive and happy in what they're doing, I think it just creates a better society and overall experience in life.
Yeah, that question. Well, those five questions, they're designed to give you an alignment piece, because our soul, like, does it have a good in it for other people? Your soul is aligned with helping people. Anybody who starts to help someone, whether they give them like a couple bucks to help them get by, or you provide shelter for someone, or you invite someone into your home to give them a good meal and a nice place to stay, you know, that it's just a part of human nature and the world, the universe, God. It's the plan that we want to serve other people. That's where real fulfillment comes in. That's why there's books written on service, like Evan Carmichael's Built to Serve. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make sure that the things you're doing, and those five questions, when you get a resounding hell yeah to all five of them, you know that your dream is in alignment with you. And that's the real purpose of it, because the most fulfilling lives where we have energy is when, and like consistently, is when we're really in alignment with the things that we love. It's like, if you don't have an alignment in your car, it's wobbly, it's shaking, it's not fun. You know, right. And you're like stressed. You're like, oh, am I going to crash? Like, what, it's going to lock up? Like, what's going to happen? And then when you get in alignment, you could like let go of the wheel for a second. Don't do it, but you could, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And it will cruise. And it's like, cool. And it's smooth. Oh, this is awesome. I'm comfortable. This feels good. Not to say it's like comfortable as in a bad thing, but it feels good. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, it feels right. It feels right. You know, when you're driving down the road, that's a great analogy, is the alignment of a car. Cause anybody who's ever driven a car that's out of alignment, it definitely sucks. It creates this like moment of anxiety. You're like, am I going to get home? Am I going to be safely get home? Especially if you're on the interstate.
If it's that bad. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's that bad. And I've had them that bad before. We had a car conversation before we got on the interview talking about vehicles. There's definitely some good metaphors flowing here. So I like this. And I think that, you know, I had ran this test. I didn't ask these specific questions that you have. This is amazing framework, and I think it's foundational to everything that's really been discussed throughout this whole interview with manifestation and faith and pulling all that together. Because if you do give that resounding hell yeah to all five of those questions, then you're going to have more faith. You're going to be more focused in your energy. Like, everything kind of comes together as it should. But I would imagine that if any of these questions has an answer of no or maybe or sure, then the other things when it comes to manifestation and faith tend to kind of get off the tracks a little bit because you don't have that foundation.
And what to do if whoever's listening is like, well, it's kind of a yeah for that or iffy, just go back to your dream. Start writing out your dream and look at that area or that portion of it and be like, well, what would be a yes to that? Now that you know the questions, be like, what would be a yes to that in terms of my dream? And still along the lines of what it is that I want to pursue. Because most people have a general idea, just takes a little bit of focus, you know? Think about the difference between, like, manifestation we're talking about. The difference between a flashlight and a laser beam is focus.
Yeah.
It's energy. You know, if you have, like, I have a flashlight, it's got a really wide view when you pull it all the way in, but when you pull it all the way out, it's like this very honed in, extremely bright light. because it's focused.
Yep.
And that's the difference.
Right.
So when we're really focused on the things that we want to achieve and fully aligned with our thoughts, feelings, and actions, and just like all in, we end up manifesting these amazing things into our life.
Yes.
So focus is the real key to manifestation, like a holistic focus. That's how we manifest.
Yeah, I totally see it now. And from the standpoint of also just, I think, and intentionality, I feel like has been like my word for 2021, like being intentional about everything, like, you know, the conversations of people that you want to build relationships with, you know, where you want to put your energy and work and just where your foot, like I said, focusing that time and energy throughout your life. That's been, and I tell you, like the more intentional you are and the more focused you get, the more traction you're going to see in whatever it is that you're doing. It's pretty amazing. I've always told this story. Anybody who follows my journey, you know, when I got started in business, this is like 2008 through 2012, I was in special events and I had like four different, not four, it was like more than five different offers. I was trying to do DJing and lighting and inflatables, like anything that somebody needed for their event, I would say yes to. And it was so hard to get traction. Once I finally focused it down to just doing lighting and that was it. And I was like, this is where I'm going to really put my energy. My business, I remember I closed more deals in the first 3 months after that decision than I did in the 4 years combined trying to do all these things. And I just wasn't focused. And once I, and not only was I focused, but the market was focused as well into what I was trying to achieve. So it just, it created this massive amount of traction. So, I think this is all great, man. There's a lot of, you know, before we started hitting the interview, I was talking about all the different master classes and things like that, that we can put on YouTube. I almost feel like we can pull a lot of gems from this one. So this
a year's worth of content.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how much time we have, but there's one more thing that I wanted to touch on that relates to, and I'll just kind of go through one more framework. Yeah, so you got another piece of framework.
Yeah.
In terms of like you doing the work that you really love, first off, know that it's possible. That's the bottom line. You have the capacity to create it. You may not have the mental capacity to believe it's possible. We talked about the kinks in the hose. We talked about focusing all your energy, mental, physical, your feeling tone, your actions, all of that, like a laser beam onto this thing that you want to create, and you will manifest it. People, situations, circumstances, random things that come up, quote unquote, out of the blue to benefit you are going to start showing up. So when you find out that this is what I really want to do, think about it. And then we want to think about really honing our craft. Because when you find out what the craft is, like Jay, you just talked about lighting. Lighting was your thing and you focused on that. You got really freaking good at lighting. And because of that, you got rewarded. So we want to get compensated, obviously, for what we do. And we want to like kind of stay in our lane, basically. Like if you're a marketer, like there's people who do done for you marketing funnels. And that's the one thing that they do. Okay, so they get really freaking good at done for you marketing funnels. Right. I do coaching. I help people master the inner game. And I focus my energy on getting really freaking good at that. So here's a couple things that you can do to actually hone your craft. First, ask yourself, what is my craft? Okay. If it's coaching, it's coaching. If it's marketing, it's marketing. If it's lighting, it's lighting. If it's music, whatever it is, ask yourself, what is my craft? So you know what it is, bring it to mind. And then how do I get better at it? Off the top of your head, what can you do to get better at it? What are five things that you can do every single day to hone your craft, whether it's studying, whether it's practicing? Maybe you're a storyteller or a speaker. You practice speaking. You have an alarm that goes off every 30 minutes, or it goes off at one point in the time in the day for 30 minutes. And you just go off and tell a story or practice teaching something off the top of your head. So that's how we become more skilled, is that we practice all the time. Just always be practicing. Focus, like, what's my thing? Automate, delegate, eliminate all the other tasks that are unnecessary. You know, but you, obviously you have to have like a business, you have to have marketing in place, but you can automate a lot of things. You can do paid advertisement. You can hire somebody, you know, think outside the box. Okay. But practice your thing and figure out what's my thing. For me, it's coaching. This is what I do. This is what I'm good at. I automate, delegate, or eliminate the other tasks that can still keep a business going, but I get a focus on honing my craft. So practice like crazy. Find a mentor, someone who is doing it, who's doing it very well, and work with them. And finding a mentor is finding someone who does it really well, and they're at a level that you'd like to be at for the specific thing that you do, that is also willing to teach you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have to invest in it, you know, but someone, because there's people who are like doing the thing you want to do, but they don't want to teach you. So find someone who's willing to teach you as a mentor. Study your craft like crazy. Every day, I used to think that studying was like nonsense until I was like, wow, I have to study like how to be a better speaker, practices. I have to study how to be a better coach, be more efficient with helping people get results that surpass their expectations faster than they expected. So study like crazy. But most importantly, when you study, study from the people who have actually perfected the craft that you're in. So like for lighting, you study the people who have perfected lighting, who are masters at it. You know, if it's artwork, if it's sweeping, I don't know what you do, you know, it's whatever, but know that it's possible. And I share with you that one story about just knowing that it's possible, just real quick, about me being in a Facebook group and someone asked in the group, hey, if you could get paid to do whatever you wanted, what would it be? And this one woman said, oh, well, I'd be knitting and watching Netflix documentaries, but I can't get paid to do that. And I laughed instantly. I went online and I typed in highest paid knitter. And then the first thing that pops up, you can look it up too. The first thing that pops up, it says one woman makes $1 million per year selling knitting on Etsy. And I was like, boom. Like,
there you go. Just, next.
It's awareness. Like, I laughed instantly. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like clearly it's never a money problem. It's never a relationship problem or a connection problem.
Yeah.
It's not those problems. It's an awareness problem.
Right.
It's always an opportunity to raise our level of awareness, which is what she had. She had an opportunity to be like, wow, maybe I was wrong because somebody else is doing it. And a high tide rises all boats. So that's like finding a mentor. You know, you find someone that's doing it. You can do it too. As long as you got the focus, the passion, the alignment for it. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. And I want to add one more piece to this, because this is when it comes to, and I use this as a visual metaphor almost. And I think it'll tie well to kind of cap this off here, just to give some people another perspective to think about, is you talk about like honing your craft, which I completely agree with. And I know a lot of people listening and a lot of people in my audience, they've all experienced this. They've gotten stuck into shiny objects and kind of getting distracted by things. And I always imagine that you're standing, you know, in a field, right? And you got shovels, and each shovel is a different craft. Like one shovel might be, you know, email marketing. Another shovel might be, and these are business, you know, these are business ideas. Sure. It's like how you're serving, right? Maybe you want to help people with email. Maybe you want to help people with building, you know, websites or whatever it is. Each one's their own shovel. Each one's another shiny object, right? But 100 feet under that dirt is this huge hoard of diamonds. And it's 100 foot to get there, whether you're digging one hole or five holes. So whenever I think about like, and this is just a visual I always think about when it comes to kind of honing that craft, is every day that you put in a rep and learn something new, that's a swing of the shovel in the dirt and you're digging the hole, and another swing in the dirt, digging the hole. And you got to get 100 feet to get to those diamonds. But if you're trying to hone too many crafts at once, it's basically like picking up the shovel, swinging it down, and then running over and trying to dig another hole, and then trying to dig another hole. And it's going to take you forever to get to the 100 feet to where the diamonds are. But if you just swing one shovel and just every day put in a rep, put in a rep, put in a rep, you're going to get there so much faster than if you're running around picking up all these different shovels. So, I just wanted to add that in there, because it's a visual thing. It helps me kind of think about that. It, you know, just kind of digging that well, getting to those diamonds. And, cause that's what we're trying to get to. And that the diamonds, you know, that represents whatever it means to you. It's that lifestyle design. It's being happy, fulfilled, and you're doing really what you truly love. So, James, man, this has been great. Like, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing, you know, all these different frameworks. I mean, this is definitely one of the more educational interviews I think I've had, just with, going through and actually pulling out different ways that people can navigate through mindset. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about manifestation and just ways that you can really get to that place where you're truly doing what you love. And I think that's what we're all here for. You know, if you're starting a business and you're working a job, it's, or you're trying to do something on the side, it's because you don't, you're not doing what you love, you know, so you're looking for mm-hmm. that thing. So this is a great, this specific interview, I think, is a great tool or resource for anybody that is looking for, like, how can I kind of, you know, maybe break through a little bit here and get on a track to doing the things that I do love. And James, you're somebody who can help people get to that level. So with that being said, how can people connect with you and get started on this?
Yeah. So I think I already sent it to you, but if not, I'll make sure I get it over to you. So there's a link. It's jamesallencoaching.com/next level, where you can just check out jamesallencoaching.com as well. But you can learn more about me, what I'm doing. You'll get a free coaching program through it that I have. It's on the laws of success. It's called Working with the Law. It's about working with life rather than against it, all about the inner game. There's 11 videos inside of that. My gift to you, I just ask that you fill out a short assessment. It's just a little questionnaire about high performance. Answer those questions, and then you get an email with access to the course. And then you'll go to another page where you can learn a little bit more about me, kind of what I'm doing, and book a call, because I would love to work with you if you, you know, and to see if it's a good fit. I don't just work with everybody. I like to make sure that it's a good fit for me, if it's someone I want to pour my heart and soul into, and if I can actually benefit them with where they're at, if the inner game is the actual challenge, you know. So I stay in my lane, like I talked about. But that link, just click on that. You get the free coaching program, can book a call with me and learn all you want to know about me.
Perfect. Well, I'll make sure to link that up in the show notes. And for anybody that's listening, I now will have my website blog. So everybody I interview is going to have their own special piece of real estate here on my introspective podcast estate online at www.introspectivepodcast.com/James Allen. If you want to get access to the video trainings that we've kind of gone through, because I've been able to break that up for you, as well as to get the full interview, the show notes, and all these links to, you know, his podcast to talk about forgiveness, as well as to his website, jamesallen.com. By the way, you got that domain? I feel like that would be a hard domain to get.
JamesAllenCoaching.com.
Oh, JamesAllenCoaching.com.
No, JamesAllen.com.
Okay, I was sorry about that. JamesAllen Coaching.
Yeah, $4,000 on it.
I was like, man, that's impressive. That's a domain I would be surprised to hear. Like, that sounds expensive. James Allen.
I tried to get JAC.com, but I couldn't get it. There was no way.
It's like $100,000.
Maybe
or something.
Maybe one day I'll get it. But inbound coaching works fine for people. Yeah. So
no, that's perfect. Perfect. No, that's great. JamesAllenCoaching.com. That'll be there, and that's Allen as far as
E-N. Allen.
Yep. Gotcha. So, all right, well, go check that out. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Introspective Podcast. I appreciate you being here on today's Daily Deep Dive, and I will see you on tomorrow's episode. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.